The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Answer.
Okay, 10:35 now. Thanks for being with us on AM 1420, The Answer. It's been a very, I feel like the show's 90 minutes old. I feel like I've been doing it for 9 hours. This was some pretty intense conversation with Mike Polensic earlier, if you missed that one. I just posted it on my Facebook page. I'll put it up on my Twitter feed, my public page as well. The conversation that we had with Mike Polensic this morning is and was an important one about the resolution to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. Cleveland's city council joining other cities like Columbus's, it adds to a collective message to our State Department that we do not support Israel. It cannot be allowed. So if you missed that interview, I posted it, and you can listen to it after the show. You can also listen to the entire show and all of the conversations, including the one we followed up with Larry Levine, after the show at about on WHKRadio.com, WHKRadio.com. I'm going to play a clip here for you as we get set for our next conversation. You may or may not realize, if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you know, last week, Joe Biden's EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, shifted their standards, all as a part of their ongoing war on gasoline, fossil fuels, and particularly the internal combustion engine. The goal is to make sure that you cannot even buy a car by 2030 or 2032 that is not an electric car, giving power to the Chinese, crushing the American automotive industry, and so much more. All of this, of course, in a nod toward gangrene, which is what I call the green energy lobby. They're gangrene, and they are indeed infectious. Their goal is to push for net zero carbon emissions by 2050. Taking your car off the road is just one of the many maneuvers that they are using here. They're trying to then take away your gasoline stoves, your gas stoves, natural gas stoves, and gas furnaces, and so forth. All in a goal of reaching net zero. So I want you to listen to this clip before we bring our guest live on the air here.
Nevertheless, the world is pushing for net zero by 2050. The International Energy Agency says reducing global carbon dioxide emissions to net zero by 2050 calls for nothing less than a complete transformation of how we produce, transport, and consume energy. And basically, they want us to get rid of all the coal, oil, and gas, 80% of what we do, replace it with wind, solar, and biofuels. And we've been working on this for a few decades. How do you think the transition's going? Oh, wait a minute, one more thing. I jumped a slide ahead. We also have 14 states and 200 cities that have signed up to net zero by 2050, and they all want us to build wind turbines and solar farms. So how do we think this is going? Well, the world has spent $5 trillion in about the last 15 years on renewables, trying to make this transition. And this gray curve is the world share, world consumption of energy share of hydrocarbons. We've had some events. The United Nations formed the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in 1989. The Kyoto Protocol Treaty signed in 1996. We had eventually about 180 nations that were signatories to that treaty. The United States was a big exception. And now we have 300,000 wind turbines installed worldwide. But the share of world energy from coal, oil, and gas is still about 82%. Same was in 1999.
I'm going to stop it right there. $5 trillion have been spent on this nonsense since just 2004. $5 trillion. Yet, we still rely on the traditional fossil fuels to the tune of 82% of it. 82% of our energy since 1999. Nothing has changed, and nothing can change, but they are going to try to bankrupt us in the process. You think $5 trillion is a lot? Wait until you see what happens with the actual implementation of a Green New Deal. The voice you just heard was that of Steve Gorham. He's executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America, author of four books on energy, climate change, and sustainable development. His newest book is Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. It came out this past August. He joins us now on AM 1420, The Answer, to talk about this path forward. Steve, good to have you back on our program. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Great to join you again. I'm good. And you're right. We spent $5 trillion over 15 years. Now we're spending $1 trillion a year. The world is anyway on wind, solar, and biofuels. But you know, I was just reading an article today about offshore wind. They use ships with diesel fuel or bunker fuel to bring all the stuff out to the offshore wind. You can't build a wind turbine. You can't build a solar panel without oil and gas at any factory in the world. So we're a long, long way from trying to get rid of these, despite what you read in the press.
Well, that's a very good point. And it's not just about getting rid of the fossil fuels that we have relied upon. It is trying to replace them with these wind turbines. It's not only about the cost factor. I saw a photograph of the concrete pad, if you will, that has to be installed for every single wind turbine, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember the number of cubic yards of concrete that it takes to erect one of these wind turbines, Steve. But was an extraordinary number, and it was brought forth to point out that all of these people who are so concerned about the planet and so concerned about green space and are concerned about the existence of oil derricks and these kinds of things, this concrete is never going away. That green space is never coming back. And in order for them to get to the level that they want, they need to multiply that exponentially, the number of these wind turbines, essentially replacing green space with concrete. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it's about 100 tons per pad. And yeah, if you use cement, which goes into concrete, it's made from calcium carbonate. And when you put it through furnaces to make cement, you release carbon dioxide. When you put steel into the wind turbine, when you put the fibrous plastics that they use in the wind turbine blades, all those things are produced using coal, oil. Well, not so much oil, but coal in China, but natural gas in most places. And there's just no way to get away from it. Anything we do in society today emits carbon dioxide emissions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And yet, your study here is, of course, on the push that they have announced to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050. Steve, what would this planet look like? Could this planet exist if there were literally net zero carbon emissions?
Well, it isn't going to happen. We have, today 95% of our global transportation, well, about 91% uses fuel from petroleum, another 4% from natural gas. We have all of our heavy industry uses natural gas, and in the case of China, they use coal. That's chemicals, that's cement and concrete, that's fertilizer, that's steel. All of these things use these fuels. There's really no way to replace them. This is all going to break down. It's kind of amazing that these green goals are in conflict. We have a push to get rid of all for electrical power, get rid of all natural gas and coal. In the U.S., it's about 59% of our electricity is from those. Okay, they want to get rid of those. At the same time, they want to convert everybody to electric vehicle, which will boost electrical demand. And they want to take away your gas furnace and stove, water heater, and replace it with electric heat pump. That's going to boost electrical demand again. And then we have a artificial intelligence revolution going on. Data centers are going to use 6 to 10 times as much electricity as they did in the past. Another big jump in demand. And then finally, they want to do green hydrogen everywhere by splitting water molecules apart and producing green hydrogen. That's another vast electricity user. So at the same time, they want to shut down 60% of our power. They have all these demands that they want to put into place. This is just going to crash. It's not going to occur. Just another example how the green energy revolution is not going to happen.
How do they respond to that, Steve Gorham? Because everything you've said is commonsensible. Everybody ought to be able to understand this. Look, what we're talking about here is going to take an extraordinarily huge leap forward in terms of our energy or our electricity consumption. The grid is going to have to be completely rebuilt. It's going to have to be fortified. It's going to have to be expanded and retrofitted and everything else. And yet electricity comes from, as you pointed out, mostly from coal and natural gas. So how did they answer that?
Well, they just ignore it. They really do. And, again, I like to quote Mark Christie, a FERC commissioner, testified in front of the Senate last summer. He said, quote, "I think we're headed for very dire consequences, potentially catastrophic consequences in the United States in terms of reliability of our grid." And he went on to tell the senators that we're closing coal and natural gas too fast and we're not replacing it. By the way, we also have nuclear plants, about 97 of them, that are aging, and they're not being replaced. So we are headed down the road for blackouts, and you better go get those backup generators for your home, and all because we're driving this green revolution.
So what is your response, Steve Gorham, when you heard about the tailpipe emissions changed last week by the EPA?
Yeah, so the EPA has been doing this for a while. They have both carbon dioxide per kilometer restrictions on vehicles, and those are currently set lower than what a gasoline car can make. They also have fleet mileage standards that they've imposed on the auto companies, and for a while they've been using hybrids, and they've had some exemptions and done some other things to be able to continue to produce vehicles, but that is going to disappear, and the Biden administration is driving everyone to be electric by 2032 or 2035. And so we're headed down a real ugly road. But, you know, it's clear people don't really want these electrics, at least most of the population. You heard that the CEO of Hertz was forced out last week, right?
Yes.
He was the guy who made the decision. The guy's name is Stephen Scherr. He made the decision to buy 100,000 Tesla EVs and over 200,000 GM EVs. And they only bought 60,000, and they had some big problems. People came and said they didn't want to rent EVs. Even the people that had electric vehicles at home, they could charge them at home, but when they traveled, they didn't want to mess with trying to charge them at a public charger. Then they had another thing go on. The used price of electric vehicles dropped 30% in the United States last year alone. And, you know, Hertz is in the car business. They buy cars, they rent them, and then they sell them on the used market.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to take a $250 million write-off last quarter because of the drop in the value of all these EVs. And then further they found they were very expensive to maintain because if somebody gets in a minor collision, you might have to replace the battery. So really a big black eye for the electric vehicle industry.
Yeah, very well said. That's an understatement. Steve Gorham is our guest. He's the executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America and the author of Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure, that came out in August. Steve, you also have been commenting on and writing about the inflation issue. A new study blaming inflation on climate change and the World Health Organization calling for a global ban on the consumption of meat and dairy products. We can't eat, we can't have factory farms anymore and have meat and dairy because we are responsible for emitting too much carbon, of course, into the atmosphere, or they are, and it's causing inflation. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I find that really remarkable. Two issues there. So the inflation issue, a study by the Potsdam Institute of Climate Impact Research just a few days ago said that climate change was going to cause food inflation by 3% a year going forward here by 2035. And they say it's because of storms and warmer temperatures. But, you know, they kind of ignore the data that's out there. Global agricultural output has tripled from 1960 to, going up by a factor of five since 1960 to 2020. And this was all during a period of a gentle warming. As a matter of fact, the price of food has not kept up with inflation. It's been lower than inflation over the last 50 years or so. But nevertheless, you know, we now got an inflation issue, and like anything else, if you have any kind of issue, somebody's going to write a study saying it's due to man-made climate change. And then you talk about the World Health Organization. I was just shocked. They said globally, they want to ban all meat and dairy products for the people of the world by 2025.
Next year!
You got to be kidding me. You know, people are eating, as they get wealthier, they eat more and more meat and more dairy product globally. Every nation except India. China, for example, is eating, the people of China in the last 50 years are eating 16% more meat and seafood than they did in 1960 or so. And, you know, there are health issues with overeating, of course, but this idea that we ought to ban this stuff to save the planet, it wasn't even a health issue. They said, yeah, you know, now we've got the World Health Organization that's in the global warming business.
Yeah.
They're not in the health business anymore. Just really astonishing.
Yeah, the head of the United Nations Health Agency, Tedros, declared in a statement that citizens around the world must shift to plant and insect-based foods in order to save the planet from global warming. I mean, we've seen these, I'm sorry to be, you know, so offensive when I say it, but we've seen these nut jobs who eat bowls full of crickets and tell us, it's good, tastes like chicken, it's just, it's fantastic. And they don't honestly think that the vast majority of the world's population, more particularly the United States, where we like cheeseburgers and we like T-bones and we like pork chops, and they don't honestly think we're going to sit here and eat bowls full of bugs, do they?
No, I don't think so. And hey, you know, they may be right, but I'm not going to do that. By the way, you know, there was a school system in Utah, or at least a school in Utah, actually had a class where they fed all the students insects as a part of a learning experience to tell them they shouldn't eat beef. This was in somewhere in Utah. So, and by the way, the Bill de Blasio, the former mayor of New York City, had a Meatless Monday, put that in, so didn't want people to eat meat. We got a whole bunch of people following this, and you know, the bottom line, though, these measures are not going to have a measurable effect on any global temperatures. There's absolutely no evidence that we're going to see any of that, because global temperatures are dominated by natural factors, not man-made emissions anyway. So it's we're living in the biggest superstition in modern history, the ideology of climatism, the belief that a trace gas in the atmosphere can cause all these disastrous effects.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, it is incomprehensible. First of all, when you said they did this to the kids, I thought it was for detention kids made meat bugs. But no, it was actually a part of, because that's a punishment more than anything else. It is pretty incredible that they think that they're going to be able to push this off on the American people, or force the American people. Then again, you know, Steve, I don't know, how much power do you think the global elites have? How much power do you think that the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum and all of these organizations have, if they do indeed come together? They're putting pressure on the U.S. to do a lot of things that are typically what we would call anti-American or not the American way. They're forcing the people to make decisions, or the country to make decisions that are not necessarily in our best interest, and a number of other things. Do you think they have this kind of power?
Well, they do, and fear is a tremendous motivator. We've seen with COVID-19 what it can do to society. You know, a parallel, and you say the elites, and you're absolutely right. In the last four decades of the 20th century, overpopulation was the big thing. And boy, they were doing forced sterilization around the world. They were doing forced abortion in many nations. The U.S. Wouldn't lend foreign aid to a country unless they had population control put in place. But the elites were wrong. Today, I'm just about to write an article and get it published. We have every major nation in the world where the population is falling. Russia, China, India, the United States, Brazil, Australia, New Zealand, we are in negative population growth for about 85% of the world. It's still going up a little bit because of Africa. But the elites were wrong. They said overpopulation was a big problem. Hundreds of millions of people are going to die, Paul Ehrlich said. It didn't happen. And now we're in a similar situation with climate. All the elites are telling us we got to change our cars and change our housing and change the food we eat, and history is going to show that they're wrong on this as well.
Steve, last thing for you, and great information already. Steve Gorham is our guest. 15-minute cities. We've got a lot of people talking to me about this off the air. We're going to have a lot of conversations on the air about this, too. As a part of this this sustainability movement, they want people living, you know, close to where they work. They don't want people to be driving. Nobody gets a car. You get a public transportation, or you get bicycles. Everything is going to be very condensed, moving up instead of out in expansive of space. Well, what are your thoughts on those?
There are many people that are pushing that, and many major organizations, the United Nations is one of those. There's a lot of articles that say that suburbs are terrible, that lawns are terrible, mm-hmm. that you put fertilizer on them. And so you're right. Get everybody out of a car, put everybody on mass transit, pack them into cities, and save the planet. You know, the thing in the U.S., though, is mass transit has been declining for several decades now. It's like 3% of miles used as mass transit, getting very, very low. This might work in Germany, but it's not going to work in the United States.
Well, I tend to agree with that. I just hope that there is enough pushback against it before we have to find out how spectacular a failure it would be. Steve Gorham, he is the executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America. Get his book. It's Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. It is going to fail. The question is how many people does it take down with it? Steve, thank you so much for the time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. That's Steve Gorham. It's 10:56. I told you we were packed today. I meant it. Spoke with Mike Polensic, spoke with Larry Levine, spoke with Steve Gorham, and now we're not done. You saw what happened on Saturday, right? One day after they passed that $1.2 trillion monstrosity of spending, they announced, Merrick Garland, the DOJ, announced an organization, basically a red flag resource center, a new federal way to take your guns away from you without you having done anything wrong, without you getting any due process. We're going to talk to John R. Lott, Jr., one of the strongest Second Amendment advocates in the country. He's next on AM 14.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.